All right, we're going to start at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet by the two dots. It's 2, 4, 5 lines up. Rambam is quoting from a brisa that we had seen yesterday. Amar Hayas Satum Ubikesh Lefotcho Ein Bnei Mavui Makvin Alav. So if a person had a doorway that exited or egress to the Mavoi, they bricked up the exit, and now he wants to reopen his exit or his entrance into the Mavoi. So it says that the Bnei Mavoi cannot prevent him since he had an easement. He had a doorway that existed. Since he has that easement, they can't prevent him from reopening that. So Amar Rava, Rava qualifies that statement of the price. The only way that's true is if he simply bricks up the doorway, but the frame of the doorway still exists. But if he, when he bricked up the doorway, he actually removed the frame of the doorway, then he doesn't have a right anymore to open it up because he's actually removed or eliminated the doorway. And by doing that, he loses his right to re-enter the Mavoi without the permission of the Bnei Mavoi. So I'm really a Bailu Rav, a Tanya of the Messiah. We have a Braisa that supports your position. When it comes to a sealed up house, you get Dalet Amot. So as we saw yesterday, the entitlement in a Chatzer to Dalet Amot is what if you have a doorway that goes into the Chatzer. What happens if you have a doorway that goes into the Chatzer, but now this doorway is bricked up? So the Braisa says that even though it's a doorway that's bricked up or not used anymore, your access or your rights to those 4 Amot still exist. Paratze Pitzimav, on the other hand, if you remove the actual door frame, then Ein Lo Dalet Amot. Then you no longer are entitled to those 4 Amot. So again, what the Gemara is indicating, which is the same qualification that Rava makes, which is that as long as the doorway exists, even though it's not functional, you're still entitled to the rights, either to the Mavoi or the rights to 4 Amot in the Chatzer. Whereas once you've destroyed the structural door and removed the frame, then you've lost those rights because there is no doorway there anymore. There's only a wall. If there's a wall, those entitlements now have left. So now, Mer says, Bayit Satum, Eino Metamei Kol Sviviv. When it comes to a Bayit Satum, it does not metamei its surroundings. Paratzet Tzimav, on the other hand, if you take out the door frame, Metamei Kol Sviviv. It is Metamei Kol Sviviv. So the way Rashi learns this is that if you have a kever, for instance, any grave, when a mace is buried in a grave, it comes the tum'ah is not only existent in the kever itself, but also in the area that is surrounding the kever. So now, if a person has a doorway, even though the doorway is sealed up, right, then the tum'ah, according to Rashi, is enu mitamei sivav el kenegad petach imameid betocho. Only opposite the doorway will there be tum'ah. Why? Because where the mate's going to go out? The mate's going to go eventually end up going out this doorway or leaving from this doorway. And therefore, we only have the harchaka or the da'at amot surrounding the house, which would be a kever, only applied to the doorway itself. On the other hand, if you take out the door frame, then the house becomes like a kever because there is no access and egress from the house now. It becomes equivalent to a kever. And a kever has a rule of 4 amot around it, which is to be marchik people from a kever. In order if the chameim wanted to prevent people from being ma'il and kvarim, so in order to do that, or kvarot, so therefore they would tell people to stay 4 amot away, and they made the area around the kever of a 4 amot to be tamei. So Rashi says the difference between a house with the doorway, even though it's bricked up, and a house with no doorways, is that a house with no doorways is a kever. So then all around, close to vivav, is 4 amot is also tamei, not just the house itself. On the other hand, if you have the doorway, then it switches from being a kever to a bayit. And Rashi says that will limit the tum'ah of 4 amot to opposite the doorway itself. Tosfos doesn't like this because he says, if you look in the top Tosfos, second line, Ve'nira le Rabbi Shimshon came into Misaimi Mechitzo Ve'lech le'mecha Shemi Yaleh ala bayit Ve'ayil alav Leil on the Meim Rashi Tamei Damot Svaviv. So it says the whole idea of Dalet Amot Saviv by a kever is because there's no clear indication of where you cross over the line into the kever. There's no point where you just say, you know, there's a, when you walk through a doorway and you have a door frame, then everybody knows when you're outside the door, you're outside the house. When you go through to the door frame, you're inside the house. But by a kever, there's no indication of when you're coming into the ohel or when you're outside the ohel. Right? That's not easy to make that determination. Whereas where there's something that's distinct and defined, we never say there's four amot because it's clear indication to the person, don't go past this point. Don't enter the doorway. Don't enter the door. So it says he doesn't think that that's the right explanation here, but he says, L'kach niralo, l'fereish kigon sheish zizim harbe boltim min abayit, mikol tzad. There are many of these projections, right, or stones that pop out the side of the house. V'yesh ben poteach tefach t'chol echad. And each one of them has an opening of a tefach, right? So then, when you do not, on that case, shelo paratz p'tzimav, then in that case, afal pish esatmo, en mo tamei tachar ashar chara zizim, shestamo shel, shesatmo shel meit, omeid letzei derech petach. Aval im paratz p'tzimav, v'chazar ubanan, kishar kotel, v'en kan petach lao, metamei kol svivav, v'chol ziz v'ziz, ikal desfuke, shema derech tachat oto ziz, yatzei min abayit. So we have a rule, in general, by Kfarot, that the assumption is that the doorway which is Tamei is the doorway in which the mate will leave the house. If there is a doorway which the mate will leave the house, then every other doorway, every other window is not Tamei, because the underlying assumption is that the mate will leave that way or that direction from the house. So that's what Tosfos says. If there is a doorway remaining, even though it's bricked up, the assumption is that the mate will go out that doorway, and that will save everything else around the house. All those exits from the house, which are Poteach Tefach, for Tumah is a Yitziah, then all those other Yitziot, or Tachat Ozizim, are not Tamei, because we assume you'll go out the doorway. Once you've destroyed the doorway, and though there's no longer now an option to go out that doorway, then we assume that every way is a doorway. Because now we have no indication of where he's going to go out, the mate is going to go out, therefore we assume it's as if every way is an exit from the house. That's the case, then Tachat Ozizim, those projections that go out of the house, all of them are Tamei, with the assumption that the mate will go out in that direction. The Tosfos doesn't want to deal with this four amot issue around the house, but rather with leaving the house and where the tumah will leave the house, rather than Rashi's explanation, which deals with the four amot harchaka around the house.
Of course, the four amot harchaka would be the
context of what we're dealing with there.
Right.
Right, Tosfos at the end does reconcile Rashi's pshat, and he says Yeshli Yashiv Peres HaKuntris, and he tries to help explain why it's not Misaimeh when you come to a doorway. But right, Rashi would fit with the flow of the Gemara about these Dalet Amot, right? Although many times the Braisa connects things because of the din is revolves around the same practical issue, which is a doorway and a lack of a doorway. So Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Rabbi Yochanan Mevotam Fula Shot Ir Acheret. You have a mavui that opens out to another city. I mean, that there may be a main road that goes into the city, but people from this other city also access, right, city B, by entering through these mivot, that they actually leave the city. Not only do they have a mavui that, you know, it's chatzerot leaving it, but they also leave the wall of the city, and people are able to access what we basically call a shortcut. Right? So, bikshu b'nei ha'ir l'sotman. So, the people who live on these mivot want to seal them up. They don't want to anymore have, you know, many times, have this today, they change the street into a one-way street, they change the street into a dead end, because they want to prevent the through traffic from going through. So then, over here, that's what they want to do. They have a opening out of the city, maybe they want to keep it for themselves so they can exit, but they really don't want people entering into the city. So what they do is they seal up, they're going to seal up the side that allows the access to the city through their mavoi. So b'nei ota ayir mekvina lev, ota doesn't mean the city in which the mavoi is found, but b'nei ota means the other city, are able to prevent them from doing this. Because they now have what we call an easement. An easement is that we have rights of usage. Rights of usage, once we are entitled or have earned those rights of usage, you can't close us out of that. So Mar says, Lo mi baik leka jarch acharina de makve. Certainly where there's no other access to the city, it's clear that they can be makev. Because now they're preventing access to the city, which they can't do. But ela afilu kiika darcha chuina, even if there's alternative access to the city, nami ma'akve. There they can still be ma'akev. Mishum de Rav Yehuda Marav, because of the position of Rav Yehuda Marav, doma Rav Yehuda Marav, mitzar shechziruku bo rabim asur lekalkalo. Now here mitzar means right from a shortcut which the rabim have been machzikin. You cannot destroy such a shortcut. Now there are two qualifications here. One is that the rabim has to have an easement, meaning easement of usage, which is that they now have used it. You can't prevent them anymore from using it. But the more important one is that as Tosfos points out here, is hainu shechziruku birshut. That they did it originally with permission or in something that was not done derech isur. So that they have to have some sort of entitlement or right to use it in the first place in order to establish that there is an easement over here. Right? That if they take it be isur, right, then maybe not, there won't be any, right, rights anymore to this property. I mean that you have to at least have access that was permissible in order to establish that someone else can't remove you from this situation. All right, so continuing the Gemara, Amar Rav Anan, no more Shmuel. Mivaot hamufalashim lerushut harabim ubikshu bnei mivaot la'amid lahem daltot bnei rishut harabim makvin alav. So you have a mavoi which empties or enters, you know, as egress to the rishut harabim. So now they want to put up doorways at the end of their mavoi, so people don't just, you know, willy nilly come into their mavoi. It is quote unquote private property, and you have the rishut harabim that is adjacent to it. And what ends up happening is the bnei rishut harabim enter into the mavoi. So they want to put up doors so they can keep this privacy. They can make it into a, we call it, gated community. So they bnei rishut harabim can stop them from doing this. So sober me now, what's the reason behind it? So they thought the reason was Hanimila Bidalad Amot. The reason is, has to do, we're going to see a second kid, Rabbi Zera. Because the reason was like Rabbi Zera, Amar of Nachman, therefore they can only prevent them from closing out the first four Amot. But if they actually moved in four Amot into the Mavoi, put up doorways, then it'd be fine. So why? Because Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar of Nachman, Dalad Amot, the Smuchot Rishut Rabim, Kishut Rabim Damyin, right? The four Amot closest to the Rishut Rabim are classified just like the Rishut Rabim, right? There's a similar idea in modern day law, right? When you have a public street or public sidewalk, that the first certain amount into your property still belongs to the municipality, even though technically it's private property, they have rights to that for the Rishut Rabim, and they can do what they like with that part of the property. So it's over here. The Rishut Rabim, since they, sometimes it gets very tight in the Rishut Rabim, people try to spread out to the Tzidei Rishut Rabim or at the areas that are adjacent. So what is adjacent to Rishut Rabim? That is four Amot. So the thought process here is that the first four Amot qualify or exactly like the Rishut Rabim. Because of that, all you have to do is pull in four Amot into their Mavoi, put up doorways, and they'd be fine. Mar says, Velohi, that is not the reason. Hatam le'inyan Tuma. That's a din of Tuma. To qualify for Rishut Rabim by Tuma, which is what? Safek Tuma Rishut Rabim is Tahor. Safek Tuma Rishut Yachid is Tamei. So what qualifies as Rishut Rabim? That is anything that is in the Rishut Rabim plus the four Amot that are adjacent or classified like Rishut Rabim for Tuma. That's the din of Rav Zera ben Nachman. About Hocho, over here, Zimne Dachim Bnei Rishutim V'Ailei Tuba. This is all about room, access. I mean, sometimes Rishut Rabim is so full, so busy, that people don't even just go for Amot outside, but they go even further into the Mavoi. And because they've now, until this point in time, had that entitlement or right to enter the Mavoi and fill up the Mavoi if there was too much going on in Rishut Rabim, therefore you can't put up doors whatsoever in this Mavoi, because now you are changing, right, what is the status quo in Rishut Rabim, which is that they usually had access into this Mavoi all the way to the end of the Mavoi. And that you can't change now without, of course, the permission of the Rabim. Right now, the Gemara continues from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you cannot split up a field, right, unless it has Tishak Abim Lazeh and Tishak Abim Lazeh. And we had the alternative opinion was Tisha Chatzei Kabin. Tisha Chatzei Kabin is 4.5, 4.5. Mar says, Velo Plige, the difference between 9 Kabin and 4.5 Kabin in the Mishnah, they are not arguing. Mar Kiatrei or Mar Kiatrei. It's simply a Minhag HaMakom. What is classified as being a significant enough field that one would work that and have enough work that they would take on such a field. So one place, meaning that one place the land is very scarce or it's expensive or worthwhile to work, and therefore they do 4.5, 4.5 is sufficient. The other place, until you reach 9 kabin, that's not sufficient in order to be a considered a valid distribution or division, because having until you have 9 kabin, you don't have a significant amount of property. So where it says, Bavel Mai, what is the din today in Bavel? I mean, if it's all about Minhag HaMakom, what is Bavel? What is the determining factor to say that it's a divisible property? So Amar Rav Yosef Bei Radu Yoma. It has to do with the plowing, the ability to plow a field that you can plow for one day. Why? Because a person's going to have to hire people to plow his field, or he's going to have to hire people to work in the field. So what we want to give him is sufficient amount of work that when he hires the workers for a day, he can use them for the entire day. Otherwise, it becomes a waste. Meaning that if we give him a half a day, then he's going to hire the workers. He has to hire them for the whole day. And then you have a half a day where he has no use for those workers. Right?
Shouldn't that depend on how much the field yields?
Right, so... Right, so the Gemara is going to ask somewhat, not exactly along your line, Shaul, but it's going to ask basically, when are you plowing? I mean, there are different times of the year that you plow, and when you plow at different times of the year, it's going to take a different amount of effort and a different amount of time. I mean, that you can't come up with a singular way to determine the value of a field by saying, okay, it's a day's worth of plowing. And it's not exactly what you were asking, but I think along those lines that giving a objective standard that is so singular does not really capture everything that is in the field. And that's what Gemara says. Mai beiradu yoma. Iyoma zaro. If we're talking about a day during the planting season, right, then that will not equal 2 days' work in the time of the harvest. I mean, after they harvest, they used to replow the field afterwards. The field was much harder, right, and harder to plow at that period of time because it was planted just as roots in it. It's dried out. So in that time period, if you plow for a day's worth of plowing in the planting season, when you get to the harvest season, you're not going to get 2 days' worth of plowing out of that field. So what's going to happen? You're going to have to hire a poalim for a day and a half. And you're going to lose the second half of the second day. So because of that, that doesn't make so much sense. Why should it be based on the zara? Oh, but if yom ha'krava, if you say it's a day's worth of plowing during the harvest, yom ha'zara lo havi, then at the time of the planting season, you're not even going to get a day's worth of plowing because it's a day in the harvest season, then it's less than a day when it comes to the planting season. So now Gemara says, ibay etema. So here there are two ways to explain it. The Gemara Rashi brings both of them down. Tosfos gives one of them. So ibay etema. We'll go with the second pshat in Rashi first, because that's the one that he accepts, which is ibay etema, yom ha'dekrava, right, the kariv v'toni. And when it comes to the yom ha'dekrava would be, right, at the harvest time, then they, what's kariv? Is they plow it, vitani, and they go over it a second time. So that you said that if we do 1 day's worth during the planting season, you won't get 2 days worth in the harvest season. Don't worry about it, because they will plow the field twice in the harvest season. They will go plow it one way, and then they'll plow it again, right, a second time. By doing that, now you get 2 full days worth during the harvest season. So 1 day during the planting season now will equal 2 days worth during the harvest season. Or the other possibility is what? We're talking about 1 day's of planting in the planting season. I'm saying 1 day's of plowing during the planting season. Ah, we said then you wouldn't get, right, 2 days worth in the harvest season. So no, or it won't be. If you had 1 day during the harvest season, it won't equal 2 days, a day's worth during the planting season. No, that's badure. Dure means it was very hard ground. If it's very hard ground, it will take longer to plow even in the planting season. Right, so the way Rashi is learning again, if you take, the question arises, if I take 1 day during the planting season, I don't get 2 days worth during the harvest season? The answer is yes, you do, because you're going to go over it twice. What about if I took 1 day during the harvest season, I won't get 1 day's worth during the planting season? The answer is no, it's a very hard area, and it's a very hard area that even during the planting season takes a full day to plow it. That's the way Rashi learns in the second. Obviously, the first Rashi and Tosfos learn that the answer is just the opposite, which is that in the first case, right, if you say that in the time of the harvest, I'm not going to get back to a full day's worth during the planting season. No, that's when they double plow during the planting season. They plow it once, they plant, and then they plow, remember, they put the season, they plow again. That's Gemara and Shabbos. Right? There's two types of Harisha. There's Harisha Lifnei Azriya and Harisha Lechrei Azriya. So therefore, if you plant once during the, right, if you plow once during the harvest season, you could get a day's worth during the planting season because you plow twice. Right, and then the opposite will be true the other way, which is, what happens if I have a day's worth during the planting season? How do I get 2 days' worth during the harvest season? That's by when it's very hard ground, so then it will take you long enough to get 2 days' worth during the harvest season. Right, so now, Davla, when it comes to if you have a field that has some sort of water source in it, and you have to draw the water from that water source, so Amar Rav Nachman beid de'elu yoma. So that it means that you have dalu, beidalu yoma. It has to be that you can have 1 day's worth of drawing water to irrigate this field. So I have to have enough land that I can hire Paulim to irrigate the field for a day. That'll be the question. Pardesa, when it comes to a kerem, a vineyard, amar avua d'shmol, bat shloshat, shloshat kabim. Again, we'll go back to a volume determination, but it has to be something that produces three kavs worth or a 3 kav worth of land. Tanya nami ochim, a brace that supports this. Omer the chavero, manat, bekerem ani mocher lecha, right? I'm giving you a portion in the vineyard. What is a portion in a vineyard? What's considered a significant or classified as a vineyard? That is shloshet kavim. So it's exactly what we defined before. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Ein elu divrei neviut. This is right. don't know what you call this, harer, hogwash. This is not anything, right, that is of substance. How do you come up with all these measurements, all these ideas? That doesn't make any sense.
Is he referring to the last one?
Yeah, he's referring to the Braisa. He's in the Braisa. Right? It's the Tana.
He shows you cabin of what?
Rashi says it based on Beitza Taim of the Chatzer HaMishkan. So there will be a relationship to Beitza Taim, but the definition of portions of land are based on their yield. Right? I mean, that it's essentially a two-way street. We've seen this before, that a Beitza of a field, right? It's a area. It's a two-dimensional amount of land, but it's premised on the production of such a two-dimensional area. So when you say a beitza'a is an area of the field that produces or should normally produce a sa'a's worth of yield. So the same thing here. I think that, right, it's now bavel mai. So then what is it in bavel? What should be the definition? Amarava barkansa tlat atziata bnei tresar gufani. It has to be three patches of, or three areas of grapes or vines, that each one consists of 12. I mean, an atziata is defined by 12 vines, and those 12 vines, right, then you have three of those areas. So you end up with 36 vines. I don't know where the Rino Gershom seems to have a gears of 13 vines per area, but that's it. Geicha derufik gavra biyoma. Again, what's the defining factor here? The amount of area that a person, if they had to turn over hoeing and turning over the dirt, he'd have a day's worth of work. And again, all these definitions are about giving land that has significance in the terms of hiring workers or the ability to work it in an efficient manner. So it has to be a day's worth of work by whichever definition, either when we talk about irrigating the field, we're talking about planting the field, or here we're talking about, right, hoeing, right, or usually turning over the dirt in the field. It all has to be a day's worth of work to make it significant enough that it's considered a portion that a person would consider worthwhile to work. Right, Amar Abdime min Devin Chayfa. Miyom Shcharab Beit Hamikdash Nitlan Duvam min Neviim Nitlan Chachamim. So this comes off of Rabbi Yossi's statement that Ein Elu Ila Divrei Neviut. So now Gemara talks about Divrei Neviut in the face of Chachamim. He says that Rabbi Yossi is calling the words of the Chachamim Neviut and saying these Ein Elu Divrei Neviut. So now Devin Chayfa. Miyom Shcharab Beit Hamikdash Nitlan Duvam min Neviim Nitlan Chachamim. Right, from the time that the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed, Nivla was taken from the Neviim and given to the Chachamim. Gemara says, what do you mean? Atu chacham lav navihu. Until that point in time, a chacham couldn't be a navi. I mean, there's two different categories. There's a navi and a chacham. Until one point in time, only neviim had nevuah. Now chachamim have nevuah. Gemara says, achi kamar afu bishnitna min neviim min chachamim lo nitna. No, even though nevuah was removed from the neviim, nevertheless, it still stayed with the chachamim. Amar meimar v'chacham adif navi. A chacham is even at a higher level than a navi. Shneamar, because it says v'navi levav chokma. The navi has, right, has a heart of wisdom. Minit labemi. Wait, who is being, right, compared to whom? Right, Zavi Omer, Katanit Labigadol. It's the lower one is being compared to the upper one. When you want to say you're just like, right, so you want to say just like, and you're giving them some sort of standard by which you are living. So here, the Navi is compared to Levav Chuchma. Right, the Navi is just like the wise man. Right, so if that's the case, then the Navi is of a lower level, and we're trying to compare him to the wise man. Because many times the Chachamim will come up with a memra or an idea or a chidush haTorah, and another Talmud Chacham will come up with the exact same idea. So it must be what, that they have divrei neviut, they're given some sort of inspiration, right, or some sort of neviut, that they both come up with the exact same idea or the exact same conclusion. Samarovo, my kushya. Why does it have to be true? Dilmo tarvayu bnei chad mazlaninhu. It's very interesting. They're both one mazel. They both have the same mazel. And since they have the same mazel, they're able to come up with the same idea. I mean, that it has nothing to do with neviut. It has to do with, right, their quote-unquote destiny, their mazel. And therefore, since they are in the same mazel, they come up with the same ideas or the same chidushei Torah. I'll show you what it's from. I'll tell you why. Because first of all, people will say something, a chidush in Torah, and it'll be the exact same chidush or the exact same thing that Rabbi Akiva comes up with. Now, it's clear, the way Rashi learns the Tosef, it's clear that nobody has the same mazel as Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was distinct and unusual, unique in his chokhmah, unique in his manner, and therefore it can't be that someone else has the same mazel. That cannot be the explanation anymore. So it must be in elu divrei neviut. Amar Rav Ashi, my kushya. Rashi says, why do you have to conclude that? True, a the total of a person, the totality of a person cannot be like the mazel of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is unique. On the other hand, for distinct parts or unique aspects of Rabbi Akiva, they could have matching mazels. So for this memra, or for this idea, or this concept, they have the same mazel, and therefore he's able to come up with the same idea that Rabbi Akiva has. He's a subset of the mazel of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore he can come up with the same idea. El Amar Ravashi. Now, someone will come up with a chiddush Torah or an explanation or idea, and it will be substantiated or have the same idea, be halacha l'moshe m'sinai kivatei. So therefore, right there, it's clearly not mazel that he's coming up with, because that is Torah m'sinai. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and therefore it's not based on mazel, it's clearly based on the viut. If that's the case, when he comes up with something that matches that which was halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it's clear that it's coming different in viut. It's an inspiration, it's coming through, right, some sort of revelation from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So where it says, V'dilma kesuma baruba. Right? So where it says, maybe it's like, the expression today is like a broken clock, right? A broken clock is right twice a day. So to over here, maybe he just got lucky. He landed. I mean, the suma beruba means that maybe the suma got through the skylight because he fell into the skylight. Not because he knew where to go to get in through the skylight. He's walking and he fell into the skylight. So to over here, maybe this person just fell into the idea or the concept, not because he has neviut. I mean, that people sometimes just come across or end up saying something brilliant, not because they are, right, necessarily have this nevuah, but simply because it happened for some reason, it came into their head at that time, and some sort of circumstances guide them into there. But not that that's the nevuot that they're getting. So Mar says, v'lav tam yoiv. So that, no, Mar says that can't be the case. Why? A broken clock's right twice a day because it does nothing and then it's right. Over here, the Chacham, when he gives his idea or expresses his Chiddush HaTorah, he gives a reason behind it. It's not simply that he just says some words and he says something and they go, oh my gosh, wow, this is amazing. No, he has to give a time, he has to give reason behind it, he has to give the logic behind it, he has to explain his position. So when he explains his position, it's a lot more than just chancing upon the right answer. It's a well thought out, right, answer, and therefore it's qualified as Divrei Neviut. Right, so now we continue with this. Verse faster, yeah, it's amazing. It's unbelievable the way the Gemara, here the Gemara, how deep mazel, the Gemara is willing to say that mazel runs to the point where people will come up with the same Chiddushei Torah. It's amazing, right? It's incredible. So this is a more famous one of the expressions, right? It was given to those who are not of sound mind and to children. What is the case of Shotim? That's the case of Marba Ravashi. He was in the shuk of Mechuzah. Shama dehahu shota. He heard this person who was not of sound mind. The kamar resh metivta the malich b'matam achsia. The rosh yeshiva who will now become right the authority in matam achsia. Tavyume chatim. He signs his name to Vyumi or Tavyumi. Say Amar man chatim Tavyumi b'rabbanan. And he starts to think, who is the one who signs his name Tavyumi when it comes to Rabbanan? He says, oh, Anna, that's me. Right, so it's Ramina, the Dikaimeli Shato. It's my time. I mean, that it's my mazel's on now. I should go. It's going to be my good luck. Right? It's my chance to succeed. So come Ato. So what he decides, I must go to Matamachsia. It must be that there's an opening in Matamachsia. And I have to go over there to get my opportunity now. The opportunity is struck. And I must go and take it up. Now, why Ravashi was called, or Mar Ravashi was called Tavyume, the Rabbeinu Gershon says, Ushmeid Ravashi Tavyume, Vaidikari Le Ravashi Mishum Shem Levi. So that was his nickname. His nickname was Ravashi. His real name was Tavyume, and his nickname was Ravashi. It's interesting because this is Mar Bar Ravashi. Right? It's right, the son of Ravashi. But nevertheless, it's Tavyume, so it would be Mar Bar Tavyume, I guess, over here. So now he says, Adi Kamele Shaita, Kam Ata Ad Ata Imnu Rabbanan Otvei, Ravacha Midifti. Before he got there, he's on his way there, and they already appointed Ravacha Midifti, or they had come to an agreement or a consensus that they wanted to make Ravacha Midifti the Rosh Yeshiva. Came in the Shame, Da'ato. Now they heard that Mar Ravashi was approaching the city. Shadur Zuga de Mirabonan. They sent out a envoy or to go out to Mar Rav Ashi to get his consensus or agreement or acquiescence to the appointment, right, a delegation, right, to get the approval of Mar Rav Ashi for the appointment of Rav Achmi Difte Legabe. So they Muche Beit to, right, consider with him, to consult with him. Akve, he held on to these two shlichim. They sent out another pair of Rabbanan to go find him. They assumed that the first didn't find him, so they sent out another mission to go find him. Akve Gabe. He held those Rabbanan. Adamalube Asara. Until he got up to 10 Rabbanan that actually were staying by him. And then came into Malube Asara. As soon as he got to 10, Patachu Vatana Vidorash. Then he began to give the drasha and he started to act like the Rosh Yeshiva. The Fishim Potchim Bekala Pachot Me'asara. The reason he waited for 10 is that it's not considered of significance. It's not classified as the kala. I mean, the drasha of the kala, which is they used to give before Pesach, before Rosh Hashanah, right? That one doesn't start giving it until there are at least 10. I mean, 10 is considered a significant klal or tzibur, and you only begin it once there's a tzibur there. So what he did was he facilitated a tzibur, and he began the drasha so that he would make himself the Rosh Yeshiva. So Kara Rav Acha Anafshe, Rav Acha says about himself, we saw this actually Gemara in Bava Kama, I think also, Komarim lo, lo bimheira mitibin lo, when things don't go your way, it's not so fast that they're going to turn around. B'chol mitibin lo, when things are going your way, lo bimheira mirim lo, it's not so soon, right, that they will go the other way. So that's over here. He's talking about my Rav Ashi, things went his way. Then it's not going to be so fast, and my Rav Ashi is not going to be the Rosh Yeshiva anymore. And me, Rav Achmi Difti, where I failed, even though I was about to be appointed to the Rosh Yeshiva and it didn't work out, it's not so quick that that's going to turn around. The Girsa in Bava Kama is actually, right, over here it says, Kol Merim Lo, Bo Bim Heira Mitivin Lo. The Girsa in Bava Kama, the way Rav Achmi Difti says over there, is that it ain't Mitivin Lo. Not lo b'mehera, but they never make it good for him. So Tosfos over there explains in Bava Kama, also over here.
Once
you're down, it's over. So that's he says. Tosfos says over here, and he quotes the same thing in Bava Kama. He says, when he first got deposed, meaning when the first case, when it didn't work out, he says, lo b'mehera, that beit even, because he still had hope that he would become the Rosh Yeshiva eventually. Later on in life, when it never turned out or never panned out, he says, amen even lo. Then he says, it never works out. That Tosfos says the difference in the two expressions.
It's not about the shota, and it shows that a person can create his own mazel.
The shota, I think what you're saying is correct, which is that when the shota has divrei neviut has two different aspects to it. One is the revelation. The second one is understanding what the revelation is. I mean, the shota over here had the revelation, but had no clue what they were saying. It was clearly that he had no ability. Mar Rav Ashi, who hears it and understands it, is then able to utilize what he's hearing. And I think that's what you're saying, to take advantage of the mazel, right, that one can determine their mazel when they're, I mean, over here he's given the access, right, a window of opportunity. That's what was being offered to him, this window of opportunity. If you take advantage of it, then it works.
The nevuah was that that's what's going to happen, and if you went upon the other side.
Yeah, he said that it wouldn't have worked out. That's the answer. That mean that he had to take advantage of the window of opportunity. That's right. In Ochanami. Right, so now, Tinoket Mahi, what is it that a child has, nevuah? Kiad bat Rav Chista, like the daughter of Rav Chista. She was sitting there, he was learning Torah, and he brought her to the Beis Medrash, she was sitting in his arms. Right, Abayatve Kamei, Rav of Rami Barchamo. And learning in front of him were Ravo and Rami Barchamo. Amarla, Man Minayu Bait. He says, I don't know if this was a joke, I don't know if he was already old enough. She goes, which one of them do you want to marry? Samarle, like a good kid, Tarvayu, both of them. So, what happened? It says, I'm a rabba. Rabba jumped in quickly and says, I'm a bachelor. I want to be the second one. So, and the Gemara here doesn't have the conclusion over here, but the Bach runs in, the V'chein Hava. And that's what happened. Right, that's exactly what happened. She first married Rami Barchama, and then afterwards married Rava. Now, the reason that Rava says Anabatra and Rami Barchama does not say Anabatra is because there are two ways that the second person can marry her. Right, one is that death, right, and one is divorce. Right, so now Rami Barchama is of the opinion or is of the view that not to marry a divorced woman or not to avoid marrying a divorced woman. So therefore, he didn't want to say Anabatra because then the only one possibility of him being a Batra was for Rava to die. So he didn't want that to be the situation. By him saying Anabatra, then he would have forced the situation that Rav would have to die for order for him to marry the Bat Rav Chisda. Rav, on the other hand, doesn't have that objection to marrying a divorced woman. So he says Anabatra, because that did not clearly indicate that Rami Racham would have to pass away early in order to for him to marry him, even though I think that's what happened. Yes. I think that he did pass away in order that Rav should marry him. But that his statement was not a clear indication that he would have to pass away and be bad for him. So that's why he was the one who jumped in and not Rami Racham. Alright. So Amar Rav Dimi Demin Chaifa. Kodem Shiochala Dam Vishteh, Yeshlo Shtele Vavot. Until a person eats and drinks, he's not of clear mind, he can't make good decisions. Once he gets to eating and drinking, then he has clear ability to make decisions and to understand where he should go. Shinamar, Ish Nevuv L'Lavev. Right, so the person is nevuv yulabev. So ish nevuv comes from the word hollow, right? Nevuv luchot, which we're going to see in a second. Yulabev here means has many hearts, right? That he, over here, I think it would be that he, right, vacillates is a good word for it. Vacillates on decisions, right? He's indecisive because he has many hearts. Yuchdev nevuv luchot. It says by the mizbech, right, on the poles that go in it, that nevuv, that they're hollow, right? So mitargamin and chalil luchin, that they actually, right, they're empty on the inside. So over here, the one who is empty on the inside, yilabev, right? Well, right, perseverate or vacillate on some issue. So I'm Ravuna Brei Rav Yeshua Ragil b'yayin afilu libo'atum ki bitula yayin mifakcho. A person who needs to clear his mind, right? He wants to be a clear, sound mind. Should have a little wine. Because the wine, you know, as we know, wine removes inhibitions. But those removing those inhibitions, sometimes that's bad, because the inhibitions are what allow the person to act in a proper way, in a proper manner. But sometimes removing inhibitions or some issues that hold the person, the fears that hold the person back, the drinking of the wine will free them of those fears, free them of those worries, and allow them to make a clear decision. Shenemar b'tirosh yinovev bitulot. So again, over here, that the tirosh will make hollow the betulot, but the idea that wine clears things up, it makes it the ability of one to see clearly, is with the drinking of wine. And we have a saying, right, by the Gemara in Erevin that says, right, that yayin is megaleh sod. One who drinks wine is able to bring out the secrets of Torah. Right, has the he has dask shivin zakenim. Right, as the Gemara in Erevin describes this idea that yain has a positive power or a tzad chiyuvi, not just the tzad shlili that we know about it, the negative side of wine.
It's interesting because it's haragil. It's like you drink this wine, but you get sick.
Right, but in their day, it's clear to me, their day, wine was a regular beverage, a beverage, an everyday beverage, not like today where we look at wine as being unusual and only drink on an occasion. Right. In their day, wine was a daily beverage that they had with meals all the time. Right, others, I mean, not in our circles, but right, the Europeans or others in French that where they, every meal, every lunch, they have wine with their lunch, right, with breakfast too. Alright. So Amar Avuna Breda Rabbi Yeshua. It says, Pshita, it's clear, Chelek Bechor Vechelek Pashut, when it comes to dividing up a property between the Bechor and a regular child, meaning the Bechor is entitled to a double portion over here. So then, Yavin Le Achad Mitzra. If we have to divide up the father's property, say it's just a Bechor and another child, then if you take the property and you have three portions to the property, right, so now two of those portions will go to the Bechor and one portion will go to the Pashut. So now we don't say to the Bechor, you take one on the east side, one on the west side, and we'll give the Pashut in the middle. No, we say that the Bechor gets his two properties adjacent. Make them adjacent, because that clearly should be the case. Because his property, when the Bechor gets a double portion, he gets a double portion that's equivalent to a single portion. So Yavam Mai, what is it done by Yavam? A Yavam not only gets his possession, but he gets the property of his brother when he marries the wife of his brother. So he gets a double portion, not because he's the Bechor, but because he's now taking what belonged to his brother. So in Amar Abayihihi, that is the same. The din is the same. Why? My dama. Bechor kar yirachmana. The pasuk says that what? Vaya bechor. The one who is the bechor will go marry the yabam. There we say the Gemara says that is mitzvah begadol. But the fact that the yabam is defined as a bechor should entitle him to the same rights as a bechor. Rava amar kura vaya bechor havyato ke bechor vein chalukato bechor. No, havyato is existence or his the one who should be getting the rights over here, and the rights that he gets are like a bechor, but that he does not get a division or a ability to demand like a bechor, because he's really inheriting two different separate properties, his plus his brother's property, and it does not become a single unit over here. So how would the Zavan Ara, a mitzvah de Bein Ashe? Someone who bought property on the border of, it's machlokas what the Girsa is here, either de Bein Ashe or de Bein Ashe, one is either his father or his father-in-law, right, which probably makes more sense. Ki kapalgu, when they divide up the property, amalei p'likalu amitzrai. So since I have an adjacent property, give me from the Yerusha, give me the property that's adjacent to this property I purchased. Now, either it's with his brothers, and he's dividing up his father's property, he's asking for the one adjacent to his property, or if it's talking about his father-in-law, it has to be a case where his father-in-law had no sons. Since his father had no sons, it's the daughters that are dividing the property, so his wife is one of the entitled inheritors, and she's an entitled inheritor over here, she can, they can demand, or that'd be a mitzray, that'd be on the border. So Amar Rava, kugon ze kofin al midat stone. Over here, this is a qualification for something that we would be kofin al midat stone. Kofin al midat stone is ze nene, ze lo chaser. So over here, everybody's going to get a slice of property, so him asking for it to be on the edge where his property is gives him a benefit without detracting from the other parties. So that's not the Rav Yosef, who says? So Amri Le, Achai, or Achai, Ma'alinan Le, Eluya, Kinichse, Nibar, Bein Marion. So the way Rashi learns it is, he says that they can say to him that this property is worth much more. The quality of this land, or the quality of this property, is worth significantly more than the rest of the property. So if that's the case, you're going to have to compensate to get this property. It's not an equal division, it's not an equal right to get a division of property along this side. If we divide it, say, for instance, on the horizontal, then each of us will get a portion of this part of the property. But if we go on the vertical, you'll get all of that property, and we will end up none of that quality or high-quality property. So Mar says, V'yuchasik Rav Yosef, the halacha is like Rav Yosef, that such an objection is a valid objection. Right? Trei arata, a trei nagre. If you have two pieces of land that are on two, what we call them, watering holes. Let them call them watering holes, in the sense that they were able to take water from there and irrigate the fields from this water. So if each piece of land has its own watering hole, so they're able to use it for the irrigation. Amarava, Kigonze, Kofin al Midat Stone. Over there, if one wants to divide the property, and again, there's an adjacent property or some value to him, divide it, where each one is now getting a watering hole, he can demand which side he wants, because Zenen ez lo chaser. Each one gets a property that has a irrigation hole in it. So Matifla Rav Yosef, or Yosef again challenges this idea. Zimin dahai midvil, vailo midvil. Sometimes when you're on adjacent to a watering hole, sometimes one of them dries up and one of them doesn't dry up, meaning that they are not always equal. You can't say that every watering hole or every irrigation ditch or every access to water is the same, because one river on one side might dry up and then you won't have the irrigation ditch and the other side won't. So he wants to say, let me have access to both rivers, so at least I have a chance to getting water on both sides. The Hilchasuk Rav Yosef, again, Rav Yosef's objection is a good objection. Tarte Achad Nagra. All right, so now you have a case where you have two properties that are adjacent to a single irrigation ditch or a single water source. So over there, I'm Rav Yosef Gonzek, Kofin al Midat Stom. Over there, there is, now you've lost all these distinctions, because either property is only going to have access to the same water source, right? And both properties are equal. So Rav Yosef says over there, that's Midat Stom. Zen and Nev is Lo Chaser, because either property that you get is going to be of equal value to you. So Makif Le Abay. He says, Matzi Amar Bina Da Afish Arisai. He can make a claim to him, listen, I'd rather that your property gets split over here. He says, listen, if you have a property, if we divide the property now over here, where I'm in the middle, and you have a property on one side of me, and you have a property on the other side of me, I benefit from that. So I want to be the middle property. Even though it's better for you to have the properties be adjacent, it's better for me to have you split. Why? Because Jafisiyah is a reside. You're going to have all these sharecroppers or workers in your field. If you have workers on both sides of me, they're either going to protect my field, or I can hire them also to work on my field. I mean, I'll get added benefits by being in the middle, because you're going to have to hire people on both sides. By hiring people on both sides, I'm going to reap the benefits of you having to do that. So Gemara says on that, the hokus of Rav Yosef, the halacha remains like Rav Yosef, avushe lav milsehi. That is not a good claim. Meaning that we're not going to inconvenience another person for your benefit. Because that is a case of ze nene v'ze chaser. Meaning that's really problematic for the individual, as opposed to the other way around, where it's ze nene v'ze lo chaser, in the sense. The lo chaser is that, yes, it's a lost opportunity that the other guy is not in between the two of them. But we're not going to cause someone else a loss to say, oh, now, to prevent him from gaining that benefit. Now, what happens in a case? Chad gisa nagra v'chad gisa nara. One side of the property is adjacent to a river, and the other side of the property is adjacent to some sort of water source, right, that is there. So now, if you divide, both of them have a water source here, but they're unequal water sources. One of them is a nagra, one of them is a nara. So how do you divide up such a property in order that they get equal, right, divisions? So Palgina Labi Karnazol. Rashi says we divide it along the what? Karnazol means along the corners. So if you see, Rashi brings the picture over here, which is basically we divide the property, we make a you make a vertical and horizontal division, and then you write a two diagonal lines across, and the resh and the shin will be the parties. That way, each party has equal access to both or all types of land. All of them will have pieces of land that are adjacent to the Nahar. All of them will have, either of them will have property adjacent to the Nagra, and both of them will have properties that are adjacent to neither, but are closer to one and not closer to the other. So as you create an even division over here, you can see in the picture of Rashi how one would do such a division. Tosos reads
really broken up the property.
Even though this is not that, right, it makes it even harder because now the property is. So again, if they agree, then there's no problem. They can divide the property any way they like. This is just, how do we come to an equitable division if they can't come to an agreement about dividing the property?
Right? Forces that they come to an agreement.
Right. This might convince them in the end that they might have a better way to do it. Tosus, on the other hand, says that Perish Rabbeinu Chananel, that the one field is in the east and one field is in the north, and that the Nahar and the, the Nagra are actually in the corners. So how do you divide up a Nahar and a Nagra is to take a diagonal line along the Tosfos. So as you see the picture in Tosfos, to take a diagonal line, and that's how you can divide the properties, that each of them gets half of the Nahar and each of them gets half of the Nagra. So Tosfos says the problem here, Rashi is dealing with dividing the property, not the Nagra and the Nahar. Tosfos, Rabbeinu Chananel has explained the problem here is dividing the Nahar and the Nagra. How do you divide them in half with the adjacent field? And that's by creating one single diagonal line through them to divide the properties up equally. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Sure.